Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. This is Ryan Singer. I've been hosting this show for a while. I don't think I've ever had anybody else host it. I'm not sure, but so it's me again. I'm very excited. I mean, I've never really strangely dug into, my words are all out of order, but never really strangely dug in. Strangely, I've never really dug into, I guess I don't want to say the metaphysical, the spiritual, the esoteric, the paranormal, like the framework and the roots of where I grew up. And I've been in my hometown area for a little while now. And there's a few people, obviously, I've grown up with that I've talked to on the program, but I'm really excited to dig into some worldly, yet also very specifically, like Dayton, Ohio, conversations here today with April Angel. Thank you for joining me today.
I'm happy to join you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun chat because some people that you hear people say like, oh, people don't want to hear about your dreams. And I'm just like, who are these people? Like, because for me, like dreams have always, I've always suspected that dreams were like just another dimension of our actual existence, that, yeah, we may be sleeping, but we are actually living some other kind of life and some dream life. And so you do a lot of dream interpretation. Is it fair to say that's an area of expertise for you?
That is fair to say.
Okay. And it's the Ashling School?
That's the school that I have learned from, and it's the school that I work through and at. Yes.
Okay. Now, is that like an online presence of a school, or is it physically located somewhere?
It's 100% online, and we work through Zoom calls, and we run courses. So if someone is interested in learning dream interpretation, we have plenty of options for that in small doses or very large doses. People can become professionals themselves, or if their dreams are showing issues that they have, we have courses where they can learn dream interpretation while they're healing the issues that their dreams are telling them that they have. So it's kind of all encompassing. And if someone has a spiritual gift such as channeling or mediumship, we also have classes and courses to help them develop that gift as well.
That's really cool. I mean, some of the world's biggest gifts and breakthroughs have been delivered through the dream world. And, you know, many of them are famous, like Yesterday by Paul McCartney or by the Beatles, that song, the scientific structure of DNA is probably one of the most mind-boggling. I think Niels Bohr's, also had some scientific mathematical breakthroughs via dreams. And I think most of the world just kind of never really thinks about it or shrugs it off. It's like, oh, when you're sleeping, your mind's just cataloging all the files of, that you process throughout the day because they heard that somewhere, right? And we're, for the most part, mainstream, society just kind of doesn't think much about what's actually the potential and what's actually happening when we sleep, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's so much happening when we sleep. Our dreams are literally telling us our life purpose every night and also helping us. Dreams have three purposes: to heal us, to guide us, and to show our normal reaction to the subject matter of the dream. And dreams cover every subject matter that a person could care about. And so like health, for example, which oddly is the subject that people least care about. they don't want to, like, dreams will warn of health issues way in advance.
And I actually had someone break up with me 3 years ago, or maybe even 4 years ago, because I said that dreams can warn you well in advance for major health conditions like stroke or heart attack or cancer. And that person was a doctorate student. And he said, you are unethical and incompetent. And that is absolutely not something that is proven. And you can't say that. You can't say that to people. And I was like, oh, well, it's true. And so he dumped me. But wow. It's so true. And I love, and it's fine, totally fine. But now there's doctors like Gabor Mate coming out in the mainstream media saying trauma definitely causes illness that develops later in life. And so when I said earlier that our dreams will show our issues, like the trauma that we experienced earlier in childhood is the issues that causes us to self-protect or to act in ways that is not true to our own nature. And so that is what develops illnesses later on. That might be a broad statement to make. It's a very broad statement to make, but it's a very partial truth. Like there's way more to it.
Well, I think it's, you know, at least from my perspective, when we try to consider, you know, a couple different very large concepts simultaneously, one of them being that the dream world is a deep, deep insight into everything that we are potentially, right? And everything that we were and everything that we will be, because we're holding it maybe at the same time that we're thinking that or understanding that time is not linear in the way that we think we experience it, it would make sense. And we're always trying to look out for ourselves and protect ourselves and survival of the fittest. And, you know, survival is the number one thing that drives our brain, our consciousness. It would make sense that our brain and our consciousness would be trying to deliver messages to us to ensure protection, right? And delivering those messages about future illnesses coming down the track headed right towards us seems to be, I think anybody listening to this program is not going to be like, well, I don't think you should say, you know, I think everybody is pretty open-minded who listens to this, but it seems pretty logical that our consciousness would find ways to deliver us messages. And one of the biggest ways to move through all of the, you know, the BS of modern, of waking life distractions is to be like, you know what, I'm gonna have to deliver this to them when they're sleeping so nobody can distract them while I need to tell them this.
Mm-hmm. And we know what everything means when we're sleeping and in that soul state, but it's only when we wake up and our conscious mind comes back online that the dream suddenly doesn't make sense. But when we're in the dream state, we know exactly why we're running away from the elephant or the nice young man that suddenly seems like he's going to attack or whatever.
Yeah. That is, it is. I mean, I don't want to like, you know, harp on like the personal side of all of these things, but it is amazing to me that certain people, you know, they draw a line in the sand for themselves when it comes to this is what I can accept in another person, right? And when certain open-mindedness is off limits when it comes to another person, like, well, I have decided to become an expert in this. And what you are talking about directly refutes the foundation of which I've been trying to build my life, my worldview. And it's very threatening. No, I do think it's important to make a distinction between like what we're talking about here and being like, what's the old saying? Like, if you're so open-minded, everything falls out. What is it? I can't remember.
I know that saying though.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about like being so open-minded. Like, I mean, I guess there's really nothing wrong with being very open-minded, but you know, I'm talking about like, you know, when you start being convinced by people who don't have great intentions about things, because you're so open-minded, you'll easily believe like anything. But it is weird how threatening it can be moving forward and trying to expand understanding against something that's been previously established.
Yeah. And I accept that many people are designed differently. So some people are going to be designed to have a natural inclination towards the metaphysical and spiritual aspects of life. And some people are designed to be very pragmatic and practical and no nonsense. It's kind of in their design, but dreams will also tell the dreamer if they are being way too closed-minded or black and white or critical of things. And so those are the things that definitely need attention, because your higher self, dreams come from our higher self. You could call it God, you can call it whatever you want, but they come from the highest guidance system that exists. And if your dreams are telling you that you're black and white in your thinking, it's to your best advantage to correct why you became that way. Yeah. I always like to go to the root of things, and dreams will also always link cause and effect. So if I have black and white thinking today, and I used to, I've corrected it, it'll tell you where that black and white thinking came from, because we're not born thinking in black and white. We're born happy and laughing at everything and then we just somehow get conditioned to be a certain way in childhood and carry that influence into adulthood. And then it doesn't serve us in adulthood anymore. Our parents aren't around needing us to be a certain way. So then we have the valiant task of correcting the negative conditioning. And that's what dreams are great at. They'll show you what your conditioning is. And that's the work that I really enjoy doing.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And I feel like when you say about, like, you know, the conditioning that we go through, it does, it doesn't have like a nefarious ring to me. Like there's, cause I think there are certain aspects of like, okay, this is the world that we're living, the physical world that we're living in. There are certain things you need to do to survive in this world, physically, to ensure your survival, to carry on. And those things have changed so rapidly when it comes to the physical environment that we find ourselves even being housed in, you know, on a daily basis or a regular basis. Have everything has changed so fast that it just doesn't seem that everything else has had a chance to quite catch up yet, right? And so when it comes to like this conditioning, I think that is definitely lagging when it comes to, you know, new ways to understand how to be, and that we don't need to just be. And I think we see it a lot where everybody, you know, whether it's advertising for political campaigns or anything else, it's like everything is fear-based. And and I mean, the things, not everything is fear-based, but the things that people understand that the best way to get evoke a response from someone is to make it fear-based. And to me, that strikes a chord with, like, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago when we needed to be afraid of everything around us because we were just out in the wilderness trying to survive, right? And so it's a very powerful way to get things through to people, but we definitely don't need that anymore. And so with our dreams, I'm curious if, because there was a time there where I just could not, I had nightmares as a child that were so vivid and recurring and ongoing that I think I slowly but surely tried to block myself from remembering dreams. I've done a pretty good job the last handful of years of breaking free from that and being able to tap back in. But everybody dreams, whether we know it or not, right?
Right.
And I'd be curious to know about the, I guess, the big differences and classifications of dreams. Because I think some people will be like, well, you know, I dream all the time. Is there a good technique for understanding the difference between the types of dreams I'm having? And if so, like, what's a good way to try to understand those differences?
I think that most people are dreaming dreams about themselves. And those dreams, again, are doing what I said, showing you your, healing you, guiding you, or showing your normal reaction to the subject matter of the dream. And it's always in service to you. But some rare people are able to dream about the future. That's a gift. It's a gift of prophecy. Your dreams will tell you if you have that gift. So some people do have dreams like that. And then that's a very tricky dream. Usually with a dream like that, a person has a strange, there's a very particular feeling that accompanies them in the dream. It might be a band, like there's a band around their waist, like squeezing them, or a band around their forehead, squeezing them. Like there's some kind of feeling that is very particular that goes along with dreams, at least from the people that I've talked to that have those dreams. And now, even if you don't have the gift of prophecy, your dreams will tell you about things that are coming up in the future for you. That's just a given. It doesn't mean that you have the gift of prophecy, but dreams naturally do that. They show cause and effect and things that are coming down the line towards you. So that's one way to tell, for example, if the dream is about something that's outside of you, like a major world event, then, and there are people having dreams about major world events that are coming. Big changes are still yet to come. We've experienced COVID, and that was a little bit of a shock to everyone's system. And it's going to increase. There's going to be more coming, according to some very prophetic people. And then also lucid dreams, you know, that is not my forte. I have about one lucid dream a year. And when I do it, now that I know in dream interpretation, I know the right steps to take. So if my dream is trying to get me to do something healing, we all have issues. If my dream is trying to do something, get me to do something healing. When I'm lucid, I'm like, oh, I know that I need to go and turn on that light switch. And I know I need to go and like break down that wall over there. I know what the symbols mean in the dream and I can do the right things. Or I know I need to find a guide. Where's a guide? I know what, you know, how to identify a guide in dreams. And so I want to ask them for guidance, you know. So those are the things that I do in order to tell the different types of dreams. And those really are the main ones. I don't know if you have specific questions.
No, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, I love this idea that lucid dreams can be, you know, for those people who love, I guess, for some reason, I was having like a vision of like a video game, like The Legend of Zelda, when you're out in the forest and you need to find something or someone to give you guidance. And, you know, you could walk around this forest forever and never find anyone if you don't know to be looking for them. Or these like hidden things on like treasure maps. It almost feels like the dreamscape is a giant treasure map. And if we can find someone to help us, like the guides, and being able to identify a guide during a dream sounds like one of the most incredible things that, you know, you could do. Is that an individual thing, or are there certain characteristics where you know that, okay, this person or this thing in my dream is a guy? Because I'm guessing it doesn't have to be a person. It could be anything, right? Like an animal or something else.
You know what? Sometimes an animal can be a guide. Yes. It's more most common probably for most people for some type of human to be the guide. And so in that case, anyone with a title in the dream is going to be a guide. So it could be a librarian, a bus driver, a janitor, a teacher, anyone with a title in the dream is a guide, because that represents them having some kind of an authority. Also, anyone that's taller than you in a dream represents a guide, because that represents them having a higher awareness than you. Like they're standing taller, they can see from a higher perspective. They're a guide. And then also anyone, a person with blonde hair can represent a guide, because the color beige in dreams represents tolerance and acceptance. And so it shows that that color blonde hair represents, I know it sounds racist nowadays, but it is what it is. Colors never change their meaning in dreams. And so it represents a guide will naturally have a very tolerant and accepting thoughts of anyone. They're very loving thoughts. So that's why blonde represents that in dreams.
Okay. Now I want to, either dispel or clarify, I guess, a myth that I think a lot of people have. And it's one of these things, like it's hard to remember specifically, but is it true that, because I used to always hear that, like, oh no, you don't dream in color. It's, you know, you only dream in black and white. And I don't think that's not the case, right? I mean, I think I should just be able to be able to, I mean, I remember having, you know, colorful dreams. So I'm not sure where that came from. And if when there's a black and white dream, that might be indicative of thinking in the black and white, right?
Exactly. That's what I would say. If someone were very adamant that everyone dreams in black and white, I was like, really? I think you dream in black and white. And let's talk about that.
And the fact that you will not accept that some people don't makes us think that you're thinking in
black and white.
Okay. Yeah. It's just very on the nose, I guess. That is really cool, though, to think about being able to identify. I mean, I think that's something to definitely tuck away in one's mind and remember to try to capitalize on, you know, an understanding. I mean, when you can identify a guide in a dream, I'm wondering if it's a okay, ask me anything, like situation, or if it's a just kind of find them and then just kind of understand and listen or feel whatever it is that they are going to be transferring to you.
It can be all of the above. If a guide is approaching you in a dream, their guidance, whatever they tell you, is infallible. So they're pretty much the only spoken thing that you can trust in a dream. Like just some Joe Schmo in the dream telling you something that you don't have to necessarily follow what they say. When you wake up and interpret the dream, like that guy isn't giving you the best guidance. That's probably representing dad and what you think because of dad's influence. Like it could just represent your logic and thoughts about something, but a guide telling you something is infallible. And that's something that you can trust and you can take to the bank or whatever.
Okay. Now I think one of the big tricks, or I should say techniques, is dream journaling is a good way to reinforce being able to remember dreams. And I have a good friend of mine who does a digital recorder on their nightstand, and they'll wake up and then just hit record and go back and listen to it. And they say sometimes it, you know, you're like listening to a different person tell a story because you don't remember later what you remembered in the moment. Is there a preferable technique that you utilize when it comes to, because if you're going to go see someone who, you know, like yourself, who will do dream interpretation for therapeutic and for other reasons, I think it, you know, you have to, first and foremost, you have to be able to remember what you're dreaming, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You have to remember what you're dreaming. I prefer to, the way that I work is someone like types out their dream and then they email it to me. They send it to me and then I look at it. I can look at it in advance. I work best when I have at least an hour in advance to look at the dream. I can do a dream on the fly too, but I prefer it that way. When I sleep, I just put it into an app on my phone. That way I don't have to turn on the lights or sit up even and grab a pen and pencil. I just pick my phone up and plug it in and then pass back out. That's what works for me.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's cool. I guess I wasn't even considering that someone could just type up their dream and send it over. It is, I've known people in my life that have had just remarkable dream lives that, you know, slowly but surely taught themselves how to like control the lucid scenarios and then figured out that they could travel through space and time and all this other stuff. And it is interesting. Like I look at dream interpreters or people who are skilled in such things almost as like these, you know, very knowledgeable, like librarians of a different world, right? And like they have access to all the information that is happening in this different world. And I guess I'm curious about maybe like, what is one of the biggest surprises, like before you formally went into, you know, learning and training about dream interpretation, I'm guessing you had very profound either dreams or an experience in some way that would lead you down this path, which I want to get into, but let's go backwards before we go forward. Was there anything that was like shocking to you, like a revelation, like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this was a component or this was this before I got into learning about all of this stuff?
I think I understand your question.
It was pretty convoluted, honestly.
It really was.
We might.
I'm like, you're kind of asking like what my path was to dream interpretation. And then also what was the first really most shocking and wonderful thing that I discovered.
Yeah, let's focus on this. Yeah, the second part. Let's focus on that part. And then I want to get into like what led you here.
Well, when I finally found the dream interpretation information that resonated with me, I was like, oh, this is the truth. Cause I'd seen dream dictionaries, you know, in a couple of years before I found this place, which is the Ashling School, Michael Sheridan. When I found that and I saw that my dreams were telling me I was a channel and I'd wanted to be a channel. And I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. I would love to do that. And my dreams said I could do it. And I was like, oh, that was my first like, hell yeah moment.
Okay, cool. So I mean, that is, I feel like, you know, there's so many different ways people can awaken to their own powers and understanding of their own abilities, right? And I feel like this is a really cool way to do that, to awaken to one's power from information given to them while they're quote unquote sleeping. I guess you don't have to quote unquote, you're actually sleeping. But so what was the journey? Was it always like, you know, vivid dreams? Was it always just a fascination with dreams in general that led you down this path?
I'll get into that. I'm kind of distracted by the fact that I didn't answer your guide question well enough. Like,
oh, wait, what guide?
Several minutes ago. One that you asked me if I'm lucid and I'm looking for a guide, like how will they communicate with me? One will be verbally, like they'll tell you and then you can trust what they're saying. The feeling that you said, do you get a feeling? Like guides will sometimes make you feel loved or confident or something like that. They will be making you feel the qualities that they embody and that you are meant to also embody. And we work on those qualities, developing those while we're here. So sometimes you will just feel like how loving and pure they are. I don't know that they communicate that way necessarily, but we'll just feel safe. And usually that's a healing mechanism for having not felt safe earlier in life. And I think that might be it. So, okay. So there's that. Sorry about that.
No, I'm glad we revisited that.
But my path was that I had a spiritual awakening in 2012. I'd been really depressed. And I was like, listen, I need to be happy. Like, this is bullshit that I'm not happy. I was like, and then I had a friend visit me from out of state, and he was talking about these psychedelic experiences that he had. And I was like, he's talking about crazy stuff. He's talking about aliens, and everyone in the room that was doing this DMT saw an alien. And it was fascinating. And his energy was really like happy. And I was like, okay, the crickets are listening to our conversation. I guess that's what he told me. I was like, okay. but it was a good conversation. And then like, I had a daughter and she was like 3 or 4 and she's happy. I was like, why are these people happy and I'm not happy? And what came to mind was, oh, they're just really open-minded. Speaking of open-minded, right? So they're open-minded. That's what I lack. Like, my daughter believes in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny. She's happy believing in that stuff. I just need to open my mind. So it was a long journey of like me just, I was first introduced a week later into near-death experiences. Like, it just fell in my lap and I was like, okay, I'll watch this. I'll read this article. And then I became fascinated with that. And then I found that people who had near-death experiences experienced communication telepathically. And then when they came back to their body, they could communicate with spirit telepathically still. And I was like, oh, so psychic stuff is real. And then I got a book that a psychic had written, and she said, dreams are giving us messages every night. And I was like, oh, it's like a psychic reading to interpret your dream. I want to do that. And so it was 3 years until I found the dream interpretation that is like a psychic reading every night. That's hopefully the answer to the question that you asked.
It is interesting that it all starts with, you know, there's a desire to get back to our original state of joy and bliss and I guess happiness, right? And the idea that we can't be is something that is, you know, I think taught to us, and so many of us buy into for so long, unfortunately, that, well, no, you can't be like that. It's just the way it is. You know, and I guess it can be framed in some ways as like, well, you got to be a grown up now. And grown ups don't get to do all this stuff. Grown ups have to be responsible, which unfortunately sometimes is code word for unhappy.
It's true.
And so to break free from that, and there's so many different ways to break free from it. And you've described your journey, which is really interesting how, you know, one thing leads to another. And I really do feel like there's such a connective tissue between all of this stuff, whether it's DMT, mushrooms, dream interpretation, you know, telekinesis, telepathy, you know, aliens, Bigfoot, ghosts, all this stuff. I believe it all seems to have like a certain kind of like seasoning to it that is in the same neighborhood or in the same cabinet. But I'm curious if there's a difference between trying to, or what the big difference is between interpreting one's own dream and someone else's dream, and if there is any difference at all.
I think it's harder to interpret your own dream because you're so close to the subject matter. So I find personally that now that I know how to dissect all the components of a dream, if I'm close to the subject matter of a dream, I'm going to want it to mean something else and be like, oh, it's this. And so it's a little bit harder for me to get everything out of it. It's better now. I can do it much better now, but that was a big challenge moving forward. And it's still easier for me to interpret another person's dream because, you know, especially if I don't know them, I can see it and I'd be like, oh, this is matter of fact. This is what the dream is saying. But if you know a person, you're like, oh, they're not really that way. They don't have that issue, do they? Like, I never see that. So when you know your issues or you don't know that you have an issue, it's hard to identify your own blind spots when you're blind to them, and dreams will. So that's definitely a challenge.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would, Yeah, because our, you know, our hopes, you know, our hopes and our dreams of who we are, right? And can sometimes be, you know, brought to us to confront, I guess, in our dreams. I wonder, like, when it comes to like the interpretation of symbology in dreams, like, I love, there's something about symbology that is so fascinating to me. And it also feels like so beyond the scope of my understanding in so many ways. Because to me, I guess it ties into like archetypes, right? And these symbols that, you know, have inherent meaning that are in our subconscious and we're kind of programmed in our hard drives before we were even born into this world, much like the turtles who wake up or crack out of their shell and they know how to run to the beach, to the water, to get away from the snakes, right? We also have pre-programmed things in our, you know, in our minds, our consciousness, and so there has to be a language to that, right? I guess, and symbology and symbols are, you know, the easiest way to, I guess, stand the test of time when it comes to keeping meaning potentially. So I wonder, like, what are the big symbols in dreams other than like, oh, I'm in a swimming pool, I better wake up and use the bathroom, right? I think most people are familiar with that one, right? Is there like a basic language that's universal in the dream world?
That is such a big language. Such a big question. I can say that people dream. You can interpret a dream from anyone, any place in the world, and you're still going to get the same interpretation for the most part. Like, for example, hang on a second. In America, a car can be a pun for karma. And dreams do like to use puns a lot, an awful lot.
I love that. I love pun. I mean, yeah. I'm a huge fan of puns, so I love this.
It's really great. So a car can represent karma. A car can represent a few other things as well. And that's the fun part of dream interpretation, is getting into your higher state of awareness in order to be like, ask the questions. Does the car represent karma? Does the car represent my ability to move forward towards my goals? Does the car represent my body? It can be one of those three things. So it's my job as a dream interpreter, and anyone who's learning dream interpretation's job as the dream interpreter to decide which one of those three, and you have to get into your channel and your higher state of awareness in order to be sure which one it is. But in other places in the world, they don't say car. The word for car is going to be something else. So it's not going to be a pun the same way it would be in the English language, but still the collective consciousness means that a lot of things are going to be the same. Water, for example, is going to be the same to everybody. The ocean represents life. It's where originally where life comes from. The first cells and creatures started in the water. So it represents life, but life is symbolic of spirit, because really all life comes from spirit. So in a dream, the ocean can represent life itself or spirituality, and it's going to be the same for anyone in the world. So there are certain things and very, very consistent themes that you can interpret for anyone in the world. I don't know if that's the answer or the question that you were asking.
No, that makes sense. It's interesting, because I was wondering if there was a universal, if, like, you know, some of the symbols, obviously it would seem that they'd be universal. And the water one is really cool. I mean, because I love water, and I mean, I'm a Cancer, so of course I love water, but I guess I'd never really thought of it in those terms before, about, you know, all life. I knew, and I know that all life originates from water. And, you know, because that's the thing we hear about when we're like, we're looking for exoplanets out in the universe. And, you know, was there life on Mars? Well, scientists found evidence that water was there. And so if there's no evidence of water being on another planet, you know, scientists assume there's no life there. And so, but I guess I should have never really put that together, that, you know, it is the, you know, and the idea that spirit, it also represents spirit to me is fascinating, because, you know, that's like one of these unexplainable things. Like, why, you know, I understand that seeds fall into the ground and turn into trees, but it's like the spark of life. Like, you know, we don't have an explanation for what started the fire, as Billy Joel would sing many years ago. But if someone is dreaming that they're like drown, like in the middle of like a vast ocean, like it might sound terrifying, I suppose. But then with this new information, it makes me think, oh, that also sounds, if, you know, depending on the interpretation, you know, and someone who's an expert at it, it could be a beautiful scene, even though it might seem somewhat terrifying in the moment, if you're being surrounded by life and spirit.
It could be a beautiful scene if your subconscious is comfortable with you being in life or even in the spiritual field. So if someone is dreaming that they're out on the ocean or even in the water in the ocean, and they're terrified of something that's going to come at them, that's telling you, the dreamer, what fears are holding you back from getting it fully into life or fully into the spiritual field, for example. So it shows it to heal you, to guide you, and to show your normal reaction of the dream. So you being in the water, I say you, I mean the royal you, I guess. It'll show you what you need to be doing. Like, this is part of your life purpose to be doing this. But the fear that comes up in the dream state is showing what's holding you back.
That's cool. And I love this idea, and you touched on it again just now, about dreams showing us our life purpose. And when you said that very early on, I got very excited about it. And, you know, it makes me a little bit sad, but I'm not going to retroactively be sad for myself that I, like, for so many years tried to, like, just ignore my dreams because I didn't want to have nightmares anymore. I guess that's what someone might be curious about. I mean, because I do know a lot of people, and typically they're women, who are just always having nightmares, and they're not a big fan of their dream world because of that. I'm curious about when it comes into like devoting one's life to dream interpretation, and dreams become such a big part of your waking life. You know, I feel like there might be a chance for blurred lines to be happening between waking and sleeping, potentially. I mean, I know people who have very vivid dreams sometimes struggle. Like, sometimes it'll take me 4 hours before I realize I'm not in a dream anymore. Like, when I'm awake doing, like, at my job or whatever, and be like, oh, no, I'm awake right now. This is not still my dream. But I'm curious if there's ever times where it's like doing so much of this work blurs those lines between the waking and the sleeping life for you.
For me, no. For me, I just see everything as very meaningful. So in my waking life, if something is happening to me, I try to go inside myself and ask, what purpose does this serve me? Like, how is this helping me? The fact that my kid is throwing a tantrum right now, how is this helping me? And so I'm looking for the meaning in all of those things. And you're just like, oh, I'm meant to dive deeper into myself for patience, which is a virtue. I'm meant to dive deeper into myself to show love in difficult situations. Or if I can't hold my cool, I'm like, okay, this is showing me like deeply buried anger that is preventing me from both of those things.
Yeah. And I think most of us, if we were to be brutally honest with ourselves, don't want to admit or really confront the deeply buried anger part.
Oh God, I'm so all about that stuff. I'm like, yes, I'm very direct, very authentic. So I probably rub a few people the wrong way because I'm very happy to hear my own issues. Like, for someone to point something out, I'm like, oh my God, thank you for telling me that I'm such a bitch. Like, I had no idea. I thought it was okay.
What
That's
a gift.
An exaggeration.
What a gift.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So I'm okay with that happening, and no one tells me I'm a bitch, but, you know, I'm okay with direct. I love finding out what more stuff I need to improve, like my grammar, for example. So that's not a spiritual thing. That's just me being. but yeah, I like it. And so I assume other people like it as much as I do. And not everyone does. They don't want to hear those things. And so it makes certain things difficult for me because I'm like, oh, don't you want to know how to improve your life by overcoming this thing that's so glaring and obvious? And once you overcome that, everything, your soul is going to be actually literally expanded, and like, more, you're going to be able to attract more through the law of attraction. And people don't want to do that as often as I do anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, I'm not saying you do this, but like, it reminds me of like, you know, when you hear about psychics just walking up to someone that they don't know, like on the street and being like, I have a message to deliver you. And it's like, and some psychics are like, you shouldn't do that to people. And then others are like, well, sometimes you just have no choice. And then others are like, no, you should never do that. But I could just imagine you walking up like, oh my God, let me tell you about your dream. You know, but it's like, then you would have to just know what their dream was. What were you doing before the dream interpretation took such a front seat?
Well, I definitely had to learn that lesson about just not blurting out what people's dreams mean.
Oh, you did.
If it's, yeah, like if someone, like on Facebook, or if someone wrote a blog post and they're like this big long thing and they're like, oh, I think this is what it means and I'm going to write a book about this dream. I was like, actually, this dream is telling you that you desperately need to heal the issues with your father because you're going to get colon cancer. And they're like, no, thank you. I didn't ask. And I'm like, okay, good luck. Sorry, repeat your question. I totally.
Oh, like I was curious about what you were doing before the dream interpretation kind of took the front seat.
I was grading tests online for the Educational Testing Service.
Oh, okay. Because I was curious because you mentioned you're wanting to fix your grammar, and I was like, oh, there's something there. Like as you know, because I studied, you know, I guess I got my degree or whatever in creative writing, but. And so I do love language and how it's always evolving and changing, kind of like a living organism. But so I've always been very loosey goosey about the rules because Same. They're probably going to be different in a couple hundred years, for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, proven by the fact that we're not sitting here speaking old English right now, I think that'd be a whole different podcast. But
yeah.
But I think there is something about, you know, the examination of things that directly correlates here. I mean, if you're grading things, basically you're interpreting, right? Isn't that the same thing? Yes. I mean, to a certain degree.
Yeah. Well, I was poking fun at myself for that other comment because I was tripping over the sentence I was trying to say. And I definitely had Midwest grammar in that sentence, but I do think that what I did when I worked for the Educational Testing Service was grade tests taken by people that don't speak English as their first language. So they were trying to learn a language that wasn't their first language, and I was grading those tests. So I wasn't actually, you know, I love learning language for that reason. I actually have a linguistics degree, and I got the linguistics degree because I love learning language and learning how to speak.
Well, it seems like a perfect fit. It seems like a seamless transition. I don't know because I've never done this, but I'm curious, when grading people's answers for things for someone who doesn't, when English is not their first language, I'm wondering if they were written or if they were just multiple choice. But if they were written, it seems like at the heart of your grading would be like, okay, are they conveying the meaning across regardless of the specific words that they're using? Were they getting to the heart of the matter, or like the meaning, right?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it.
And that seems like that seems like exactly what you're, I mean, I don't want to say exactly, but it seems what you're doing with dream interpretation too. It's like, you know, getting to the meaning of these things as opposed to like, what's at the heart of this?
That's right. It's what I'm most interested in. I'm most interested in meaningfulness, most interested in that. That's the shift that happened for me in 2012 was going from like, life isn't meaningful, when I'm dead, I'm just going to be bones in the ground. And why does it matter if I put these clothes away in my dresser? It's pointless. Everything is pointless. And I went from that to like, oh no, life is meaningful. And that just for me was night and day as far as like happiness levels go. And then I had to, from there, go into addressing all of my childhood traumas and healing those and stepping into my purpose and my higher expression. And I'm still working on that. There are things that I'm meant to do that I'm still not doing as far as using my gifts, but I will very soon.
It's funny that, like, you know, the things that we do previously in our lives kind of totally set us up for what we're going to do in the future without realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, linguistics is fascinating. and, you know, the meaning of words that have always really fascinated me, because I do believe, as much as I love language and spoken word, there's, to me, there is an inherent flaw in all spoken language, because it seems so rudimentary when it comes to actually being able to fully describe and explain thoughts, feelings, emotions.
Yep.
And I think that's what's so cool about dream interpretation, because now we're not necessarily using words as much as we are using imagery and, I suppose, even feelings and emotions. And that to me is just such a really, it's just such a profound way to communicate. And because I forget what the percentage is. Won't they say like nonverbal communication is the majority of communication? Even though we think we're using our words all the time, it's usually the like 90% nonverbal, and like how you're saying, like the way you look when you're saying things. Anyway, the digital age has changed all that. But I'm curious if you think that understanding the symbology and the imagery of dreams, has it changed your opinion about anything in the world, in a, I guess, not a profound way, but in any way when it comes to like, oh, I understand this thing that maybe I didn't understand previously. Like, why is this done this certain way in the waking world, right? And then once you come into a deeper understanding about symbology and everything else in the dream world, you've been like, oh, okay, maybe this makes sense now. I guess this is a difficult question. I'm not even sure I understand what I'm asking, but
yeah.
Was there anything in the waking life that became much more clear to you once you began to better understand the dream world? I guess would be the simpler way to ask that question.
Human behavior.
Oh.
Became easier for me to understand.
Okay.
Because that's what dreams are pointing out, like the coping mechanisms that we pick up that seem abrasive sometimes to other people, and that I find abrasive in other people. Now I understand it more, because the dreams speak the language of the soul, and the soul is literally telling these people, this is what you came to experience, and these are the challenges that you came to overcome. So yes, you might have had a trauma in childhood and therefore became very critical in adulthood. This is something that they're meant to correct. And it's hard to correct those things. It's very hard to correct being critical, because we learned it. So I understand it more, and I'm working on patience for that sort of thing. And just love, like actually literal accepting people the way that they are. Like when I started my healing journey, and it's been 7 years and I'm still on it. When I started it, and I have come a long way, the thing that I wanted was to just love everybody. I'm like, I just want to love everybody. I want to walk down the street and feel like everyone is family, and I just am not intimidated or put off by, I'm a kind of an aloof person, and that's by design, and it might never change. But I have a deep desire to help people, and I just wanted to love them, and I'm going to get there. I will get there, because it's our natural state to be that way, even if it's in spurts and whatever that saying is, doses, I'll get there. But that's what interpreting dreams and understanding their symbols has done for me, is help me understand people and to be more patient, and to understand even like boundaries. It's very psychological. In dream interpretation, you have to know a good bit about psychology in order to interpret a dream well anyway. Like, why wouldn't having poor boundaries be good for you? You know, we think that we're doing the right thing by helping people when we don't want to help them. Like, well, I'm a nice person if I do this thing that I don't really want to do, but this person needs help. Like, I'll do that for them. That's not doing anything for anyone. Like, if you don't want to do it and you're doing it at your own expense, this is a weird example, but then it's not helping. You don't get bonus points for being a martyr. When you die, they're not going to be like, good job forcing yourself to do that thing you didn't want to do. Like, that's not what we're meant to do at all. Like, if you don't want to do something, we're meant to be working on stepping into our own authority and power as a person. So being okay with saying no in certain situations. If I have to say yes to someone, that's called people pleasing. Why am I that way? That doesn't make me a better person to be a people pleaser. So that's a weird rant.
No, but it really resonates, because there is something really to be said for having a transformation in a way that makes you truly want to be doing these things, right? That are helpful for other people.
Yeah, exactly.
And it has to start there, right? It has to come from inside first, and being like, I need to, and I have the desire to, turns into I am actually doing, which I think is kind of the formula for anything in life. Like whether it's like a dream that you have, like that you want to do in life, like you have to do it. And the only way to really do it is to dream about it and want and have the desire to do it in the first place.
Right.
Or you're not serving yourself or anybody. I think you nailed it. And there is really, you know, cause there's that old adage too, about like, let's say volunteer work. People are like, I know you don't want to do it, but trust me, you're going to feel better after you do it, you know? And everybody knows that is true, that you do feel better after you do volunteer work, even if in the moment you wanted to sleep in or whatever else, you wanted to do something else, you will feel better afterward. But then it becomes like, okay, well, this is a very, if that's the only reason you're doing volunteer work, it does seem like a pretty selfish act at that point. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. Like, to a certain degree, it's like there are people who will only do volunteer work so they can feel better about themselves. And that seems like, okay, well, that seems weird to a certain degree. But if we can get there, maybe the joy of that scenario would be that someone does that so often just because they want to feel good about themselves, that eventually they forgot that that's why they're doing it, and they actually do want to do the volunteer work. So maybe that's the happy ending in that scenario that I just concocted, but there's lots of things that I want to do that I haven't done yet. And, you know, I think I will get there. Like, you know, you're saying that, you know, you're still on your own journey.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what kind of pick me ups you utilize along the way to find re-inspiration and to be, you know, emboldened or to be encouraged along the way. I mean, I'm sure, do you have mentors? I'm guessing there might be people in your life, but I wonder what, when you have to rely on your own tools or your own inspiration, what do you do there?
Well, my mentor is also my employer. I work through the Ashling School, and he's the one that taught me dream interpretation. And now I work as an instructor at the school teaching dream interpretation. So he's my mentor. He's a huge inspiration. He's living the life of example. He's walking the walk and talking the talk, as far as like being someone who interprets his dreams, knows his purpose, and lives it, and does hard things because his dreams are like, this is going to help you grow. So like building a business, you know, there's just a lot of things that will be asked to do. And once you do one thing, the next thing will be another thing. And it's never easy. Like, being uncomfortable helps us grow. So he's a mentor. He's a font of wisdom. So definitely Michael Sheridan. Another person that I came across maybe a couple, 2 years ago was Christian Sundberg. He discusses his pre-birth memories. He remembers being in the womb. He remembers being deciding to come to Earth. And he remembers a life before this one where he was in the womb, and it was so challenging because the vibration was so low. And when we accept the veil, we feel so separate from source and everything that we knew before we lowered our vibration enough to enter the fetal body. He was like, this is ridiculous. And he tells the story so wonderfully that he basically willed himself out of that and caused a miscarriage in the mother. And then had a life review even for that very short amount of time on Earth, where he never even like made it out of the womb, and discovered that he had impacted the mother, and she had like negatively, or she, you know, she was really sad. She took it hard. And so that experience then impacted hundreds of other people. And he just felt really bad about that. So he's very much, you spoke earlier about how words can't really do justice to what we're trying to communicate. And he talks about that all the time. He's like, I'm going to try to describe this information that I know, but language does not do it justice. The way that he says it is very intentional, and he's all about intention. So he's another person that I consider inspirational. And also I like listening to NDEs still. I look out for near-death experience stories, because these are people that have been on the other side and they'll get a little nugget of truth and wisdom. So yeah, those, I think.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the television series OA?
No.
Britt Marling's television series on Netflix, which is probably one of my favorite all-time programs. And Britt Marling is probably one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. But it's about NDEs. I think you would love it, potentially.
Was it a 5-episode?
I can't remember thing? How many. There was only 2 seasons.
Okay, no.
And it is bonkers. It's like television that's made in the form of like movie. It's like every episode you're watching, like, oh, I'm watching a movie right now. I mean, it's really incredible. It's one of my favorite programs or TV shows that have ever been made about NDEs. And, you know, I'm also pretty intrigued by the NDE, by NDEs as well. And, you know, I'm luckily or unluckily, I suppose, I've never really had an NDE. I mean, I've almost been run over by a van, and like, I was pretty exhilarated for about the next 12 hours. You know, when you feel like you almost die, nothing makes you feel more alive, I suppose. But
wow.
It is, you know, those are one of those moments where you're like, oh my God, I'm alive. All the colors are brighter and, you know, the air is crisper. But the, it is really cool though. I guess we can wrap this up because, you know, we're looking good on time here. But the one thing you said that really, really sparked some joy in me too is like, you're like, oh, I want to walk down the street and love everyone. Doesn't that sound great? And when you said that, I just immediately had the images of, you know, some of these people that we know have figured out how to get close to that or get there, right? And, you know, whether we're talking about somebody like Ram Dass or, you know, the Dalai Lama or some of these people who are just, wow, they just have so much love and you never hear them really be angry. And not to say that they're not people and have their moments potentially, but I feel like that for me is such a great goal to have, to be able to at some point just always be filled with love, regardless of whether or not someone is like coming for me or, you know, critiquing me in some way. It's such a worthy goal.
And it's possible. It's totally possible, because you look inside yourself and be like, well, why am I not that way already? And then you identify, oh, because mom and dad yelled at me and criticized me, and then I just decided I'm a piece of crap, and that's, or that the world is an unsafe place, and so I've got this lens now, and you have to delicately peel off the layers of that wounding, and then what's left? Nothing but love.
Oh wow, that's cool. And one of the best ways to peel off that is through dream interpretation, I imagine, to get
yes.
to the heart, to get to the
yeah to decide what you're yeah to decide what to, or to discover what the issues are that are underlying, and then you have the work of healing it. And so much of healing is feeling, and so much of what we cut ourselves off from is feeling our true feelings. And a lot of the healing journey is about that. I'm sure you've heard plenty in that regard as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really cool though, how many different ways there are to try to better understand oneself and to find healing, to find meaning, to find information. It is endlessly fascinating. The dreamscape to me, I mean, it's like a parallel dimension. And I mean, I really enjoy being able to have conversations with people who have spent so much time like growing to understand dreams in the dream world. And so I appreciate you taking the time today to chat with me about that. Let's make sure people understand where they can find more information and or the dream interpretation service that you're offering?
Okay, well, the school that I work through is at the website dream-analysis.com. That's the Ashling School. And at that website, dream-analysis.com, you can download a free dictionary. So anyone that downloads the dictionary will also be put on a newsletter to get alerts for when opportunities for courses are coming up. And I think that there's one starting in January that is a healing. It's a spiritual dimension. Oh, it's like a mini course. It's 2 weekends. Let me see if that's true. Yeah, it's 2 weekends starting in January where you submit dreams and you can learn what spiritual symbols, how to identify spiritual symbols in dreams. So it's like usually it's like $97 or something. And you meet with me usually over the course of 2 weekends and learn what your dreams mean, because I'll use real dreams and interpret them during class. And then you get a one-on-one life purpose reading as well, where we discuss dreams one-on-one and decide like, these are your gifts. This is what you're meant to do. These are the things that might be limiting you or holding you back because you're protecting yourself or whatever the issues are. So that's one way you can go to that website. I also have a website called aprilangel.com, and I work through the school mostly. So that's where I spend most of my time, but you can also find me at that website and reach out if you have questions or want to book a session. Anybody listening?
That's awesome.
And oh my gosh, I'm also on TikTok. I forgot. I'm on TikTok. It's some, it's like April Angel 79. Because I made it before I decided I was going to put dream interpretation content on there. I just wanted to watch people dance. so it's funny. Like a very, very unprofessional handle, but, yeah, April Angel 79. Maybe underscore 79 or something. And just look for April Angel. It's, you'll find a lot of knickknacks that are literally just little Christmas tree ornaments, but then you'll maybe find me too. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, April Angel Dream Interpreter. I'm not very active there, but I have that. Like there are ways to get in contact with me.
All the things, all the places.
All the things, all the ways.
It was so funny, like when you remembered that, like, oh, that's right, I gotta remember. I'm on TikTok, and I was like, oh man, that's like my exact response. Like, oh, that's right. I also have to be on TikTok. I've been told, and
it's my favorite.
Oh, it is? You enjoy
it? It's my
it?
Favorite platform. Yeah, I don't like Instagram or the other ones. I have the most followers on TikTok. I can interpret little snippets of dreams on TikTok. I like doing that. But eventually I'll probably maybe start a Patreon, or maybe I'll eventually start a membership or be part of a membership site that is like a monthly membership and you can learn a person. Just stay, if you sign up for the Dream Dictionary, people, you'll get information when that
you'll
membership
find out
stuff
all,
starts.
You'll find out all that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
Okay. I mean, and this is the Dream Dictionary. Is this the same Dream Dictionary that you found years ago? And you're like, oh, finally something.
Yes. It's so good. And there's a book, like Michael has a book that you can buy on Amazon as well. That's a dream interpretation book. I suggest signing up, downloading the free dictionary as well, because you can get on that newsletter, emailing list, really.
Okay, cool. Well, April, this has been great. Thank you.
It has been great. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And who knows? I mean, I'm going to have to download this free dictionary because I love free stuff. But secondly, I love dictionaries and symbol dictionary symbology. Like I just bought the two volumes of like the hieroglyph dictionaries not too long ago. And I've got the archetype like dictionary. So this sounds like it's going to be the perfect complement to my growing library of like symbol dictionary and interpretation dictionaries. Is this, and this is at
dream-analysis.com.
Okay, cool. And so I'm definitely going to be downloading that ASAP. So thank you again. And I guess it's, I'm going to have to like find out what app you're using. Or do you just have like a notes app, you said, that you just plug into in your phone for your dreams to keep track of? Is it like a journal app or is it an audio app?
It's a journal app. I found that I didn't like the audio because I sounded like a drunk person. I couldn't understand myself and I still had to like transcribe it the next day anyway. So I didn't like that
for
myself. Yeah. But the Dream app is called Dream Journal Ultimate. That's what I have.
Okay, cool. Cool. So if someone's interested, they can check that out as well. So again,
yeah, there's lots of them.
Okay, cool. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it. And, you know, maybe in the future we'll have to, we'll talk more about dreams.
Yes, I would enjoy that. Yep.
Awesome.
100%. Thank you.